L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
We are back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Hour number three. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick with you. Chase will be on this afternoon with Floyd Reese. It'll be Chase and the GM coming up at 2 o'clock. We say hello to Tim Hasselbeck, who we haven't talked to in a couple weeks from ESPN. Tim, how you doing?
I'm great, Darren. Good to be on with you.
Yeah, we had Jackie McMullen on in the first hour. Do you have any have you had much dealings with Jackie over the years?
Yeah, definitely. You know, very familiar with her growing up in Boston. Obviously, she's
yep.
Was it the Boston Globe that she wrote
yes.
for mm-hmm. a really long time?
Yes.
And so, yeah, certainly. And then obviously she's been on ESPN for quite a bit as well.
It was pretty interesting to hear her talk about the cast or the group at the Boston Globe covering sports. I mean, it was the who's who. I mean, it was pretty impressive
to
see
who it was.
So you was covering the Boston sports scene. So how have you been?
So I've been good. I'm trying to think. Well, I wonder what my conflicts were the last couple of weeks. You know, I've had, I've just probably been on SportsCenter and NFL Live a little bit more. I feel like that's been kind of gotten into my schedule a little bit. But, yeah, like, listen, a lot of the same. And, you know, it's interesting. There's obviously everyone here in Nashville knows, like, things are starting to open back up a little bit more, especially in, you know, Davidson County in comparison to how they were. And, you know, my reaction, you know, I think is, you know, I hit that point, like, a lot of people that were like, okay, like, it's time to get back to work a little bit here, right? Like, you know, we seem to be doing okay. The hospitals aren't overwhelmed. Like, hey, let's get back to work. And, you know, as soon as I started to have that feeling and being encouraged, like, yeah, we're going to have college football this year and feel good about, you know, the NFL keeping their schedule and all of that stuff, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shoot, look at the Clemson football team, and oh, no, look at Kansas State. And, you know, I think I'm a little bit nervous about it now, to be honest.
I think for good reason. We were kind of discussing that earlier in the show. I mean, football's not going to have a bubble. You know, the NBA is going to have their bubble, their own little world in Orlando. The NHL is going to have two bubbles somewhere. We don't know yet. And football doesn't have a bubble. So how will that play out as they are just...
And listen, even if you have a bubble, what happens if the bubble gets contaminated? Like, I know some people who live and work in New York City. And so one of the things they did was they left town and, you know, went basically home in Ohio. And so, you know, they basically spent from March till about now, you know, in Ohio thinking, hey, listen, we're going to get out of this, you know, New York City hotspot and let's go to Ohio where there aren't any in this, you know, county, there aren't any cases really, and let's go hang out there, and everything's going great. Well, you know, 3 months later, all of a sudden it's like, oh, shoot, someone has it. And everyone here who's been here escaping it, now they've been exposed to that person. So it's almost like that mentality of like, hey, okay, hey, we're in this bubble. We're going to be away from this hotspot. But what happens when the bubble gets contaminated?
Yeah.
You know, now everyone that thought they were safe is no longer safe.
And what do you do about, you know, I don't know. Have they put out a definitive plan of if a team gets hit harder with positive tests than others in the middle of a season, like how roster-wise they're going to handle that? I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it in the NFL. I mean, obviously there's a non-football injury list, but like, what happens if you are well, I'll give you an example. I have a cousin who is a Division One. He's a freshman quarterback at Boston College. And so he reported to camp, I believe it was yesterday or the day before. He's from Cincinnati. And so, you know, he's going to go in, and basically when he gets in, they're quarantining him in the dorm room and all the other football players that reported, I think, for 8 days. So, you know, which is, it's smart. It's a good idea. And hopefully, you know, it ends up being a success and, you know, they don't have a widespread thing like some of these other schools have had. But what happens if, you know, 2 weeks before, not even, you know, a week before the first game, they have 23 players test positive?
Right.
Well, now what do you do? Because not just those 23 guys, it's the other infected guys, the other guys that were exposed. And so if you have to quarantine them for a week, like what do you do? So I my thing with this is I feel like in the NFL, you know, you have adults that have signed a contract that, you know, can make a decision where they're assessing risk. And I understand that many players themselves aren't necessarily at high risk. Now, for college students, again, many of them aren't at high risk. But, like, who's their advocate? Like, who's their, like, who's telling them it's okay for them to play or it's not okay for them to play? I'm really uncomfortable with that, just speaking candidly about it. I'm not sure about it. And, you know, then the other aspect of it is, you know, in terms of these, you know, generally healthy young players, you know, not being at a high risk from a standpoint of it being fatal, but, like, they can't just be concerned about themselves either, right? Like, you know, are they around family members that are at high risk? Do they have roommates that are high risk? Like, there's just so many factors that it's starting to make me feel uncomfortable about it.
How would you feel if your kids were a little bit older and they were in college as Division I athletes? I wonder how the families feel about this.
Well, I can tell you a couple different ways. I mean, I feel sick about it for my kids playing youth sports. You know, we've talked a little bit about my daughter. My daughter's going to be a freshman. She really likes lacrosse. You know, she'll probably be a college lacrosse player, and she's missing out on a lot. You know, I have a son who's 12, and, you know, 12 years old, when you play on that 200-foot fence, like, you know, that's the year you start jacking home runs, you know?
That's right.
It's like, you know,
that's
to miss
year.
Out on that stuff, right? That's a fun year, you know? And so, you know, fortunately, we're going to get some of that stuff in, but, like, yeah, you're missing out on so much of it. I mean, you already have. And then, look, you guys know I've coached 5th and 6th grade football the last couple of years. I can't tell you. I mean, there's a lot of kids who need help buckling their chin strap and putting their mouth guard in. You know, like, pardon me, I'm like, really? Are we, like, I don't know. I don't know if we're doing that. So, and then my niece, you know, my brother Matthew, who obviously you guys know, he has a daughter who is scholarship lacrosse player, going to be a scholarship lacrosse player at BC. And, you know, when she committed there, you know, she committed there thinking some girls were going to have graduated, right? Well, now there's 44 girls on the lacrosse team because of all the girls that were seniors that get that extra year of eligibility back.
Oh.
So, I mean, I just think that there's a, you know, there's also a ripple effect to this that, you know, you wonder, you know, how it works out. And then, by the way, because of that, and I don't think it's just because of that, but because of that, you know, if some of these athletic departments that, you know, have found windows into cutting other sports. I mean, just look at what's happened. I think it was Furman, you know, cut baseball and men's lacrosse, and App State cut a bunch of, you know, men's sports. So, yeah, I mean, this is, in so many ways, this is really disheartening.
Boy. It is. There's so many layers to it, no question. Tim Hasselbeck is with it. So, Tim, Darren and I have sort of talked about our experiences with our kids and the return to play. We're making those decisions, you know, as we go here. We've tried to seek out a lot of opinions. And so you just touched on it a little bit with your kids. So how did you try to balance, you know, the kids wanting to get out there, needing activity, but also trying to do it safely.
Yeah, so we basically have kind of followed the guidelines of what, you know, our area has, deemed as okay. So, like, we've played in the baseball tournament in Smyrna. We've played in the baseball tournament in Hendersonville. We had stuff that was scheduled to be played in Davidson County and didn't play. And, you know, that stuff got canceled. As for my daughter, you know, a similar thing. Basically, every lacrosse camp around the country that she was scheduled to go to, that stuff's been canceled. And there's some stuff that is still on the schedule. And if it goes on, then we'll go. Elizabeth and I were kind of talking about it last night where, you know, if a family gets, you know, the virus, I think the natural reaction probably will be, man, could we have been more careful? Like, are there things that we could have done a better job of? And, you know, I think the thing is if you are being careful, if you're doing things that you should be doing, wearing a mask and you should be wearing a mask, if you're washing your hands as frequently as you can possibly, do it, and if you're doing that, I do think there's elements of, like, it's not healthy to not be participating in life. Like, for social right. development of kids, for being on a team, I think the same thing goes for adults. And so unfortunately, I just think we're at that stage.
Yeah, it is a lot to think about. Let's ask a couple of football questions here.
What have you guys done? Have you guys opted out of participating in things that you could have?
We just did our first tournament last weekend. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
Yeah, we've been playing. I've actually done a couple of travel tournaments, which I was actually surprised were going to happen as quickly as they happened. But we talked to a lot of people, just like you said, Tim. We balanced all that stuff, and so far, so good. And, you know, knock on wood, sometimes you don't know for another couple of weeks if anybody picks up anything. But, you know, hopefully it'll play out okay.
Well, just to kind of let you know about what you're talking about, this one happened to be at Lee Victory Park in Smyrna too, this tournament. And there's four fields. Is that where you played when you said you?
Is that the one with the AstroTurf? That's really awesome.
Oh, you played at Cedar Stone? You played at the new ones? The four?
Place,
oh, those are.
That place is.
They just opened. Like, it literally just. You must have been the first ones on that field. Tell me how.
I think it was the second weekend of it. And, it's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, it is. It is four all turf fields. Did they have all four open, or did they only use half?
They used half.
Okay, so that's what we dealt with. So they only use half of the four. So they only had two fields. So they had to limit, some of the age groups, and we were limited to 18 teams, and we just squeaked in. It was 18, and it was sold out in our age group of 8U, quick. And they couldn't do any more because, you only have so much time to work in all of this. And so we just got in. But that just goes to show you, to your question, 18 teams. They only would take 18 teams, and it was sold out in a blink of an eye.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do think that like, there's an element of this that, and, you know, you try not to be callous, you know, about it, because there are real risks. Look, I've told you before, I have a cousin who's in my wedding, really, you know, close friend of mine, and, he was in ICU because, and he didn't have any underlying issues. So, you know, it is something you have to take seriously. You know, at the same time, like, I think that there's an element of, like, is it healthy to just sit in your house, not participate in life, especially at some of these ages that are pretty developmental ages?
Good point. Let's mix in a football question here. Tim, you've talked a lot about how much you've wondered whether Ben Roethlisberger can make it back and be the same that he's been. It's an interesting article, Brooke Pryor on ESPN, really got him to open up about some of the issues he's been dealing with off the field that go beyond just recovering from injuries that we've all seen on the field.
Yeah, I saw it and talked about it on SportsCenter last night. I guess I kind of just take the health aspect of it first, in that you know, Kevin Colbert at the combine, the Steelers GM, was adamant about, like, hey, he may be better. He may be better. Like a year of not taking a bunch of other hits and things like that. And so it kind of surprised me because I was thinking in many respects, like, he might be done. But it seems like his recovery from this elbow surgery has gone really well. And, you know, if you go back to 2018, that's the best statistical year he's ever had. Then I think you kind of – so just that physical part with his elbow and everything like that. Then you think about, you know, what he's talking about. I guess he spoke, you know, it was kind of a church or a Christian men's group that he did, you know, virtually and talked about basically addictions that he's been dealing with, you know, throughout his career. And you're right, he really did open up. And, you know, I think that, you know, to have been at a place where he is talking – the way he's talking about, you know, addictions that he's kind of suffered with throughout his career, and compare that to where he was maybe early in his career, where quite honestly, I mean, there was some really dicey stuff where, you know, he's been accused of some crimes that really could have
right.
ended up, you know, kicking him out of the league. And so, yeah, I think my reaction to it is you really hope that Ben just personally is in a much better place than he was in, you know, earlier on in his career. So even though he was enjoying all his professional success, obviously, you know, there was elements of his life that were spinning completely out of control. And look, if he has kind of his off the field life in a much better place and he's as healthy as he was, I think the Steelers could be a Super Bowl contending team. I mean, I think they could be that good. They were 8-8 last year with kind of disaster play at the quarterback position. So
it was about as low a level as you could get.
Yeah, I mean, think of it was Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and all kinds of drama there and in and out of, you know, different guys at the lineup. Now think if you can have, like, Pro Bowl caliber play at the quarterback position. I mean, is that two more wins? Is it three more wins? Is it four more wins? Like, I think they're a Super Bowl contending team if that happens.
Yeah, and that affects the Titans for sure. And the last one for me, Tim, the rankings came out, you know, this is what we do in the summer, right, especially this summer. You rank everything, right, whatever it is. But they put out, I think, through Pro Football Focus, they rank the rosters. And the Titans are number 8 in that. Is that about right for you? Is that in the ballpark or where you would have had them?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it, and obviously, you know, Wood probably needs to take some time to kind of look at everything, but it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, I think that, you know, I think a lot of people would feel like, you know, a quarterback is a top 10 quarterback, so that's going to be important. I think when you look at, you know, guys that are playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, they certainly have, you know, enough of those, you know, guys that kind of stick out a little bit in terms of being difference makers. You know, I think when you look at kind of how the receiver position, you know, evolved last year and how you feel like he was a really bright young star at the position and, you know, a really talented running back and talented offensive lineman. I mean, I think that you can see why, you know, people look at him and be like, yeah, like across the board, including everything, and not just kind of the fancy stuff of skill position players, but considering defensive tackle and considering, you know, guard and all of that stuff. Yeah, I think that would be about right. I'd probably have a hard time arguing that.
Is Antonio Brown going to be on a roster this year?
You know, I wouldn't have said yes, but I – put it this way, if we're playing football, it just seems like there's too many teams that are kind of sort of, you know, maybe having it out there that they might have some interest to kind of see what the reaction is. And, you know, there probably still has to be some league stuff that happens to figure out what his status is. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him play. And I also keep getting this feeling on Cam Newton. I know that we've talked about it before. That, like, as soon as there is, like, a, hey, we're starting training camp on this date, as soon as we know when football is going to start, I think things around Cam Newton are going to heat up quite a bit.
Leave us with this, Tim. We're going to get into this with Chris Mason in the next hour because we went down this road last week with him on the professional athlete side of things. Can you coach mental toughness, you know, mental fortitude, that mindset that you need. But we were talking about adults. And we said this week, because he's got kids just like us, and just can you teach that? And I'm experiencing this with the youth side of things, and you've got now, what, a daughter and two boys that have kind of gone through the phase where I am right now. And I'm curious, and as you coach too, can you teach this at the youth level? Can you teach? I kind of feel like that's what we're missing. That's like where we are, like the one we keep losing, like one run. You know, we're playing the best teams in one and two run heartbreak losses. And it's like we're right there. And I feel like the missing ingredient is just kind of like not having them slump, not having them get sad. Mm-hmm. My thing is don't get sad, get mad. But can you actually teach that at the youth level, that mentality?
I do think you can. I think you can. I mean, so I
did you say
like
can or can't?
My kids have. You can.
Can.
I feel
okay.
Like my kids have been on teams. Yeah, I think my kids have been on teams where there have been kids that, you know, emotionally, just say something bad happens, they would have the ability to emotionally go in the tank, and what
yes.
that could do is just drag the rest of the group down. Right, like,
and they're talented.
They,
by the
they
way, they're good. They're good. They're good
yeah,
players.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like oh, for sure. And like those kids that are the thermostat for your team, that can do that and can just drag the whole group down. Like, I think that you can be taught. Like, hey, listen, you can't do that, because when you do that, what it does is it drags everybody else down. And then I think they also tell the other kids, like, hey, listen, when something's going bad for somebody else, like, you can help them. Like, I feel like I have definitely seen improvement. And maybe part of it comes with, you know, age. Look at a 12-year-old cries less often than an 8-year-old. You know, I mean, part of it is, you know, that it does happen, like, as they get a little bit older. But I don't think that there is any question that there is elements of mental toughness that can be kind of nurtured and taught.
Okay.
And, you know, I think...
Because the question I've had, Tim, is it just in your DNA, or can it actually be taught? You know, do they have to be equipped with it, or can it actually be, instilled in them? That's been my biggest question.
So
you say yes.
I think it can be instilled in them. I think it can be instilled in them, but I think it's easier to instill it in them, for a coach to instill it in them, if it's kind of being taught at home. You know, if it's not being taught at home and you're trying to teach it as a coach, I think you can still teach it as a coach, but I think it's much harder if it's not a consistent message, you know, at practice and at home. But I think, like, when it's at home and at practice, like, I think those are the kids that really, really thrive.
Mm, good stuff. All right, good. Good deal. Thanks for weighing in on that. Good to talk to you. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you here soon.
Yeah, you do the same. Good luck in your tournaments this weekend. And
Thank you.
Hopefully you get to play that field soon, man. The field's sweet down there.
Oh, we definitely want to get over there. I want to check it out.
I think they kind of feel like they play for Vandy when they're there. Like,
really?
It's like, I think, you know, like with my kids, it's like that's the only field they know about that's all turf, you know? So it's like, okay, it's Vandy and Smyrna. That's who does it.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
See you guys, Scott.
Tim Hasselbeck. Willie, these fields are Cedarstone. They're over by Stewart's Creek High School. I mean, they're almost like across the street. They just opened the park. I'm surprised that he's saying that they were the second one. And I didn't think there had been anything but maybe one tournament at most. They're all turf, and they are sweet. I haven't been on them. I've just stopped and looked at them from a distance, and they're impressive to see. All
nice.
Turf.
You'll start to see more the more you go. I think that's the direction it's going, because obviously what it does is it makes it so much easier to upkeep the field or deal with rain.
Deal with rain,
if you,
that's right.
If you have the rain and you got all these games scheduled and you get a couple hours of rain, it just really messes up the whole tournament. Whereas a shower here and there on a turf field, as we found out with Hawkins Field, you know, it saves you tons of time. So you're seeing more of these pop up. our team has played about three straight weeks now on almost all turf fields, regardless where we've been. We're going to be at Shelby Park this weekend. Now that we're in phase three, we got a tournament, so a lot of local teams playing. So in the next few days, that'll be fun to get on some natural grass. But the turf fields are here to stay, I think. It's not like the carpet like it was when we were growing up, right? The Astrodome and Busch Stadium in St. Louis and Veterans Stadium, some of that awful turf. I was watching yesterday a great game, a famous game, 1981. The closest the Montreal Expos ever got to the World Series. They lost the last game at home to the Dodgers. Rick Monday hit a home run in the ninth inning. Fernando Valenzuela, his rookie year, remember what a sensation he was. Mm-hmm. He pitched the entire game, pitched a great game. But the turf at Montreal's Olympic Stadium, oh, my God, it was brutal. There was paper all over the field. There was seams everywhere. I'm like, how did anybody? It's a wonder Andre Dawson, what could he have been, or Gary Carter, guys like that, great players, what could have done? What, you know, how much extra could they have played? How much better could they have played had they not had to deal with that turf every year?
Yeah, it's not 80s turf.
The wear and tear, my gosh.
The stuff they're putting down today. Not 80s turf. As Neil O'Donnell would tell you, as he sells a lot of turf.
Oh, yeah.
It's not turf of decades ago. It is really, really good stuff these days. We'll come back. We're going to expand a little bit more, and we're going to catch up with Chris Harris. He's going to join us from WSMV and learn a little bit more about this 40-man roster, these two teams playing against each other, or 40 games, these two teams playing against each other here in Nashville. We'll talk to Chris on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.